Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
This evening, the message really is it's all around the gospel. It's actually the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God. And if you'd like to come with me to Isaiah 61, which some of you will know off by heart, the first few verses. And this, I hope this will encourage you tonight that God wants us to be soul winners. Just say soul winners. But you know, we need to be able to share the gospel, preach the good news of Jesus to ordinary people in such a way that they can receive it. They can hear your story too. So I like what Andrew was talking about earlier, talking about your personal story of how you met with Jesus, what he's done for you. But we need to be able to convey that in words. There's a famous person, perhaps some of you might know who it is, who said, you know, tell the gospel everywhere you can, and if you have to, use words. Who was that who said that?
Francis of Assisi.
Francis of Assisi. Now, I kind of disagree with him a little bit, because he's a great man of God. But actually, yes, we do need to do what he said, but actually, you can't do it without words. You can't do the gospel or share the gospel without words. Now, we need to do everything else. We need to convey who Jesus Christ is in the way that we live, in the way that we love one another, in the way that we serve people. But actually, the Bible says that we need to convey in words too. And in Isaiah 61, are you all there? In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon, just say me. I want to encourage you tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, he's in you as well. If you've received him as Lord of your life, he's in you. Because the Lord has anointed you, just say he's anointed me. He has anointed you. That anointing, you ladies, when you get up in the morning, I understand that if you're anything like my wife, you'll put something called cream on. And it's not double cream or single cream, but it's cream that comes out of a jar or a tube that's good for your skin. Is that right, ladies?
Yes.
Now, some of us guys sometimes do it as well. We put it on the aftershave cream to help those rough skin areas. Now, the anointing here is talking about something that is rubbed in. The anointing isn't something just rest on the surface. This anointing, the idea of it is like this cream that you ladies put on your face, on your hands. It actually, you rub it in and it penetrates and goes deeper than just the skin. It goes down. Is that right, Sharon?
Yes.
And now the Holy Spirit, this word, this in Isaiah 61, it says God has anointed us. That's the meaning of this, that the Holy Spirit comes and has anointed us. He has anointed, he has rubbed himself in to our spirit, into our very being, so that in every part of us, we're literally pouring out Jesus. That's what the anointing's all about. And I hear people talking about telling other people about Jesus, but we forget the first bit, which is the Spirit of the Lord is the key to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. He has anointed you to preach or to declare, to trumpet, to make known who Jesus Christ is. He's given you this good news for the poor. Not just people who haven't got any money, but these are people who are really poor because they haven't got Jesus, and they're everywhere. I hear there's quite a few in here in Worthing. I've met some of them. There's loads of them. They're everywhere. Everywhere that we go, there's people that need to be saved, and there's very poor. There are people who are poor, and they need Christ. And how are they going to find him if they don't hear with their ears a description and a testimony, the truth really of your story made into ordinary words, so that you can hear the gospel and be saved. And so I want to encourage you tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's anointed you with the good news of the gospel. So, the idea is that you preach the good news, you share the good news with the poor, people in the workplace, your neighbours, your relatives, maybe members of your own family, your friends, even your enemies. God wants you to be active in sharing your faith. And we do this out of the anointing of God. So we need to know that we're anointed, and if we need to come back to that place of having a fresh anointing, I suggest that would be a great idea, that we come back to the Holy Spirit, back to God, and ask him, Lord, please give me a fresh anointing. Rub yourself onto me. Rub that anointing into my spirit so I'm full of that anointing of the power of God, so that when I speak, it's more than words. It's not just words, but the words carry life. And it says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted. I tell you, if you go maybe 10 metres from your home, maybe even nearer, you'll find a broken-hearted person. They're everywhere. Yes, see, we were doing some door-to-door work in Crawley, and just about the first door we met, there's a broken-hearted person. We'll walk down the street, there's a broken-hearted person. People are carrying broken hearts. They don't know which way to turn. But we do, because he saved us. So we have good news to tell people, and he's anointed us to put into very simple English our story, your story. What has God done for you? How he saved you? And I just want to talk a little bit about telling your story. Is that all right? I'm going to change the script that God gave me this evening, because, or I prepared for this evening, because I feel very much to encourage you to tell your story as many times as you can. Now, we've got different stories of what God's done. We've been healed, some of us. We've experienced a miracle. Many of us have experienced all kinds of different miracles, answers to prayer. Even being born again is the greatest miracle that could have ever have happened. And we have good news to tell, because the most important part of our story is the bit about Jesus, who he is and what he's done on the cross through his death and resurrection. So every one of us is a storyteller. And God wants us to tell our story in ordinary words by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do so, what it'll do, it'll draw people or detract them. It will either draw them to Christ, or they'll react against it. They'll do one of those two things. And if it's under the power of the Spirit, it'll have that anointing upon it to do that. And it says here in verse 1 here of Isaiah 61, it's to proclaim freedom to the captives. Freedom to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. And it's time to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that amazing? So yesterday I had the privilege of talking to this lady on her doorstep for about 4 minutes, 5 minutes max, and just shared the good news of Jesus with her. Gave her a good newspaper as well, so she could take the news into her home. But basically told her my story in about 3 minutes. That's it. Just part of my story. Not the whole thing. Just part of my story as God led me. And left her to think. And I said, I'm going to call back and see if that's okay, because I want to know what you think about this good newspaper. And you'll have time to think about my story too. Is that okay? She said, that's fine with me. So we have opportunities every day. And the Bible says that we're to make the most of every opportunity. Doesn't it say that? Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are short, the days are evil, and we need to make most of the time that we have to share with as many people as possible the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can be saved, so that they can understand and hear who he is, not just have a warped or a twisted understanding about who Jesus Christ is, but they can understand from clear words. Let's go to the book of Philemon. See if you can find that one. The book of Philemon. It is there in your Bible. What page? Well, it depends which version, of course, but just see if you can find it a minute. Well, I try and find it in mine. Philemon. Or Philemon, actually. Might be a better way to say it. Is that how you say it, Philemon? Page 507 in the Truth version. Listen to this. This is verse 4. I always thank my God when I remember you in my prayers, because I've heard of your love for all your fellow believers and the faith that you place in the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. I pray that as you share your faith with others, so you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. Did you get that? It says here, I pray that as you share your faith with others, so you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. Do you know, one of the ways I've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my friend, as my king, as my saviour, one of the ways is through witness. And I've discovered that there's some things I would never know about Jesus if I hadn't witnessed about him to others. So we're taught, and rightly so, that we're to spend time in prayer, and so we should, because that's really the place where we meet with God and where we encounter him, isn't it? Meeting him in prayer and worship. We also meet with him when we worship him, when we sing praises to him. But you know, the other place where you'll really meet with him and he'll meet with you is when you witness and share the gospel with those that don't know him. Let me just explain how that works, because in John's gospel it says that the Spirit within us is like a well of living water. Doesn't it say that? That wells up unto everlasting life. And every time that you share your faith with others, under that anointing of the Holy Spirit, what comes is out of your well of living water, where the Holy Spirit is, where the life of Jesus is, you put into words what he's done for you. And out come the words. And with the words come life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And when we start speaking about Jesus Christ and who he is for us and what he's done on the cross and through his death and his resurrection, how he paid for the price for our sins and how he came to give us his life and bring us into a real relationship to him. When you start speaking those words of life, which is what they are, the Holy Spirit comes out with those words. And what you'll discover is you're giving out of your well. And God never wants you to go back empty, so he'll fill you up some more. And what I've discovered is the life of the Spirit flows more in me as I begin to share the gospel with others. Does that make sense? When we share the gospel with others, you know, sometimes people ask you those really difficult questions that you don't have the answer to. And what I do with those, I send those arrow prayers up. I say, God, I don't know the answer to that one. And very often I find the Holy Spirit will immediately give me the right words to speak right there. And I discover an answer I didn't know. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit giving you more of his presence and his word and his truth in your spirit so you can release it to others. So you actually find out more about the love of God, more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's put on the inside of you. And through that, you begin to experience more of Jesus, the Jesus who is living in you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is the, if you like, the third way that we come to know him. Number one is prayer. Number two is worship and the word, studying the word of God, reading the word of God. But the third place is by witnessing to others about who he is. So it's really, really important that we do that, because you'll find that as you witness to others, he goes with you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to share the gospel with others. So just say this with me. Say, I've been called to share the gospel with others. And this is how I come to know more of Jesus in my life. It's true. It's absolutely true. Let's look at Romans, shall we? Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and another well-known couple of verses. Romans 1 verse 16. I'll read this out of the truth. It comes out really well. 16 and 17. I could never be ashamed of believing and proclaiming the gospel. I know that it is God's powerful way of making salvation available to everyone who believes in Jesus. First the Jews, to whom he came as man, then also for people of other nations. All who believe the good news of Jesus are saved because they are placed in a right relationship with God, regardless of who they are or of what they have done in the past. This relationship with God can only be received as a gift from him and is given to those who place their faith in who Jesus is and what he has done for them. It is a matter of faith from beginning to end. Nothing we could ever do by our own efforts could ever make us pleasing to God or place us in a relationship of righteousness with him, of being made fully acceptable to him. This is borne out by the fact that the scriptures declare that those who are acceptable to God will live by faith. Amen. It says, I think, in the New King James Version, which I'm more used to, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the first thing we need to get rid of is any sense of fear or shame, because some people might reject us. Some people might turn us down. Some people might put the door in our face. All of that kind of thing. But God says, no, I've anointed you to share the good news of Christ with others. You know, the days are short. Not because it's getting darker in the evenings, but the days are short. We have small amount of time before Jesus comes back again. We need to live like he's returning today or tomorrow. And if we do, if we live like that, then we're going to have a new urgency that I must love people. I must share the gospel of love with as many people as possible while I'm here on this earth, so that they have the opportunity to believe upon him, to repent and believe and be saved. Do you agree? Now, in this room today, we are his witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So it's very important that we know his power, that we spend time in prayer and soak in his power. But don't that power isn't just for you. The reason God gives you the power is so that he enables you, empowers you by his grace to go and tell other people about Jesus, and to do it with words that carry his grace and his power. We've seen people healed when we've shared the gospel with them. We've seen The Lord gives words of knowledge for people. He'll do the same for you. He'll give you words of knowledge, words that you didn't know about a person that was going to really help them and will prove to them that the Jesus that you're talking about is alive today. And God wants to do a fresh work in our hearts of seeing people being saved. Do you agree? Yes. But there's an anointing to do it. If we all stepped out of this building and just shot down into town, but we didn't work with the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll come back empty-handed. But if we go in the power of his name and work within the context of what God's given to us, it may be your workplace. That's a context where God has placed you. It may be with your neighbours. It could be in your local community. God might lead you to go into some place you've never been to before. But what's on God's heart is people. All the time it's people. He loves people and he wants them to be saved. It says in, I can't remember the scripture now, I think it's 2 Peter 3, that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all men, all people, should believe and be saved. So there we have God's heart. God's heart is that every person on the planet should come to know him. Now, we know that not everyone will because they make their own choice, their own decisions. But we know it's God's will that not any person should perish. And that word perish means to be separated from God eternally. It's not just talking about death, physical death. It's talking about being separated from God for all eternity. And we need to begin to carry this gospel of love and realize the reason Jesus came was to save people from being separated from him eternally. If you begin to carry the heart of God, you'll begin to be motivated in a new way that people must be saved. They must be saved because there's an eternity. There's a place of torment that was never intended for them. But God wants them to be saved. And we have this wonderful privilege of sharing the good news about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done. I remember some years ago in the church that we used to lead, there was a guy that came to our church, him and his wife. He'd been big in business and the whole thing had collapsed when there was a financial crisis. And through it, he got saved. And I remember he attended our church. And I remember one Sunday morning, we had a visiting speaker come. And he basically, it was one of those gospel Sundays where we said, bring your friends and we're going to get someone to preach the gospel. And now he was a saved man, but he was sitting about the fourth row back, had had a very busy week. And somewhere during the preach, he fell asleep. And during the preach, the preacher got to the point where he said, now just put your hand up if you want to give your life to Jesus. And he kind of was being stirred and all he heard was put your hands up. So his hand went up like this and he was still half asleep. And then he realized that he said, now everyone come forward. So he came forward and he was so embarrassed. He went out with a few other people to get saved again. And went through the whole, and the amazing thing, he went through the whole process. He was so embarrassed. He went through the whole process of people prayed for him and he filled in a card and went through the whole motion of doing that. And we don't want to do that, do we? But we want to share the good news with as many people as possible before it's too late. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. The gospel is the power of God, and it's actually it's told in words. It's word and deed. It's those two things working together, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. It says, for God's kingdom is not about empty talk, but revealing God's power. I think in the New King James it says, it is not a matter of word only, but of power. Just say power. Power. Say it again, power. Do you know, when we talk about Jesus, because we know him and we love him, and we share what he did on the cross, the power of God actually gets to work on that person that you're speaking to. Do you agree? The Holy Spirit works on people, it works in their hearts. So I just want to describe to you the kind of thing that happens, what I've observed as I've shared the gospel with people. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Andy.
Sorry, Andy. So if Andy was unsaved, which obviously he's not, but if I came to share the gospel with Andy, I begin to talk to him and we have a conversation and I begin to say to him, look, I'd like to tell you the story of what God has done for me and begin to share my story. This is what happens to someone who's unsaved, is arguments and thoughts start kicking off in their head. Do you remember before you got saved? Maybe you can't remember that far back, but anyway. But arguments and imaginations start to kick in very often. When I'm talking to people, I can sometimes even see And God shows me there's arguments and imagination. Even voices appear in people's heads. Demonic voices that tell them not to listen or put up an argument against, a resistance against the words that you're speaking. It's very important when we share the gospel, if we work with the Holy Spirit, the power that's upon us can silence those voices or those thoughts that are going on in someone else's. So we need to exercise the authority of the Lord Jesus when we're talking to people, that we command the enemy to be quiet. I mean, you don't just say it to a person, but you would command the enemy to be quiet, and you've exercised authority. When you start to speak, you ask God to silence every other voice so that they can hear the gospel. And this is what happens. They begin to hear the truth about Jesus. And while God silences the enemy's thoughts or words that he's putting into someone's head that they're used to listening to, the truth begins to penetrate and goes deeper into their heart. And they begin to come under a conviction of their need, a conviction of their sin, a conviction that actually this is true. And we see many people say, but it doesn't come without prayer. And we need to exercise a lot of prayer in this, that so that we keep with the anointing of God and let the Holy Spirit do his work. But the power of God is in the gospel itself. So we're his delivery boys and girls. That's what we are. We're here to deliver the gospel to people. We're his servants. We're his sons, aren't we? But we're here to serve other people with the good news of Jesus. And as we do so, it says that the gospel is the power of God. So it actually carries power with it. So every time you deliver the message about him to somebody else, don't think, well, he rejected me or he wasn't interested. No, you've delivered the truth. If they heard something of what you said, you must now water what you said into their life. Does that make sense? And pray. Don't just think, oh, nothing happened. No, everything can happen when we begin to pray over the sharing of the gospel with others. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Let's just look there for a minute. Gospel of Mark. Hallelujah. We're in a season at the moment, a theme that we're doing, isn't it? All about words. God's words. The words that we speak in our lives, how important speaking the right words. And tonight we're talking about the word of the gospel, sharing the gospel with others. But in Mark's gospel and chapter 1, I'll read this from the truth, I think. I'll come out well. Mark 1, it says here in verse 1, Mark 1, 1. This is the beginning of my account of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the first thing that we learn is that the good news is all about Jesus Christ, all about him and what he's done and who he is in our lives. And then just go to verse 14. When John had been put into prison, Jesus returned to Galilee and began to preach openly the good news God had sent him to proclaim. It is time, he said, God's kingdom is now within your reach. Turn away from your lives of sin and believe the good news that you can have a new and better life. You know, at the end of this morning's service in Crawley, there was a lady, and she thinks she's a Christian, but she's not. And she came up and spoke to me at the end, and I began to say to her, you know, to really know Jesus as Lord, you have to repent, you have to turn away from your sin and ask him to forgive you. And she began to burst into, she began to cry. And I said, the one thing God's really looking for you is, I know you believe about him, and you even pray to him, but he really wants you to know him, and his amazing love that he gave for you when he died on the cross. And I said, that's the most important thing that you need to know. And we began to pray for her. And she's not, we need to work with her a little bit more yet. But so that the understanding and the faith begin to kick in. You see, some people don't understand. So if we just lead them in a prayer, they still won't understand. They've just prayed a prayer. And if someone says to them, well, now you're saved because you prayed the prayer, it doesn't actually necessarily mean that at all. So we need to be very careful. We need to work with the Holy Spirit. So when we share the gospel with people, we need to know where they're at and when they're ready or not ready to be saved. And so she's not quite ready yet. There needs to be a little bit more work of the Holy Spirit in her life. And so we shared with her something this morning. And I know that it'll need a few more people to work with her. And what I've noticed is if you work with one person over a period of time and keep watering in prayer, keep praying for them every day, pray for them, pray the word of God over them. As we pray for people and talk to them and open the scriptures to them, what God does, he'll bring revelation to them about the truth of who he is. At some point, revelation will come. If you keep at it, revelation will come, because that's the power of the gospel. And when that revelation comes about who he is and actually their need to have him in their life to be forgiven and cleansed, when they get that revelation, then they get much nearer to being saved. But it takes time. And if we sow into people's lives in this way, that this is a journey, we walk with people on a journey, actually what happens is faith comes. Because the Bible says that faith comes by the word and hearing and hearing by the word of God. They have to hear a number of times, like you did before you got saved. Most of you here in this room probably heard about the gospel of Jesus probably quite a number of times before you surrendered your life to him. Probably, most people have heard the gospel quite a number of times because of resistance, because of really finding out what's true, what isn't true. And usually it's quite a number of times. It's unusual for someone to be saved just like that without there being a background to God working in their life. And so we need to remember this. So as we share with people over a period of time, don't try and push them into the kingdom. No, work with them, work with the Holy Spirit, and wait for that time for them to be convicted of their sin and for them actually to hear them say, I want to say that prayer. I remember sitting in a room in Crawley one time, a couple of years ago, and we had a group that was for unsaved people. So he said, this is only for unsaved people, or if you're a Christian, you can bring an unsaved person with you. And we're going to pray that during these weeks, we have this group, we're going to describe and explain the gospel in words and with our own stories over a period of weeks. And I noticed that as we did this, each week faith rose. These unsaved people, they heard the gospel and heard people's stories, the faith rose. And so different ones of them got saved during that period of time. And I remember this Irish lady, on the fourth week it was, and she said at the end, I said, we're just going to finish now this evening. See, no one's pushed. We're going to finish this evening. I'm just going to say a brief prayer, and then next week we're going to do this. And she said, Pastor Paul, she said, I want to say my prayer. Like this, she's Irish. I want to say my prayer. And she said, I said, what prayer would that be? Thinking it, that she may want to pray a Catholic or a religious prayer that she'd learned. And I said, what kind of, she said, that prayer of invitation, she said, that you've spoken about. And so right there and then, we stopped, you know, I didn't pray there and then the prayer I was going to pray about just kind of closing the evening. But I knelt down with her on the carpet there, and a few others knelt down and others just joined in. And I said, I want you to say your own prayer in your own words about what you know you've heard during these last few weeks. And do you know what she prayed? She basically prayed what we would say was the sinner's prayer. And she cried herself into the kingdom. She began to cry. Words came out of her, forgive me, Lord. You know, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm inviting you to come. You know, she just, everything I heard, I thought, that's everything that we've shared with her over these weeks. And she didn't copy anyone's prayer. It came straight from her heart. And that's the night when she got born again. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. She got born again and saved. And she's a faithful member of Kingdom Faith in Crawley. And she's still following Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we need to learn how to share the gospel of Jesus with people. Let's look at just a couple more verses. I'm going to try and bring this into land. It says in verse 16. One day Jesus was walking on the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing their nets into the water, for they were fishermen. Jesus called them, come and follow me, and I will make you fishermen of a different kind. You will catch men. Without hesitating, they abandoned their nets and followed him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, isn't it? That we've been called to fish for people so that they would follow Jesus. Verse 21, together they all went to Capernaum, where on the Sabbath day, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. People were amazed at the authority with which he taught them, an authority the teacher of the religious law did not possess. That's the gospel. It comes with authority. When you stand out in the crowd and begin to share the gospel with people because you know that you know, that's authority. It's the authority of the Lord Jesus in your life to be able to speak. And people recognize that authority too on you as a believer. While he was speaking, a man who belonged to the synagogue, who was in the grip of an evil spirit, shouted out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Is it your intention to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One God has sent. Jesus addressed him sternly, quiet, shut up, come out of him. And the evil spirit caused the man to have convulsions and came out of him with a great shriek. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Authority to deal with the evil one, the enemy. And in verse 35, it was very early on the next morning and still dark when Jesus got up and, leaving the house, went to an isolated spot where he could pray without being disturbed. That's the gospel. Success in the kingdom comes through prayer and through seeking God. And that's where the anointing comes afresh upon us. And this is the gospel that Jesus lived for. Jesus replied, "We will go to the other villages in this area so I can preach there as well. This is the reason why I have come." That's the gospel. So I'm not just interested in Crawley, I'm interested in Worthing. I'm interested in lots of other places too. And so we need to have that heart. We don't just want to preach in one place. We want to share the gospel with as many places as possible. So he journeyed through Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and setting people free from demonic powers. Just come with me to Acts 26. Acts 26. I don't know if I shared with you this message before. Forgive me if I have. As part of a message, but it's very important that when we're praying for people, I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. When we share the gospel with people, there's a few principles that we can remember in prayer when we're praying for them, and it comes out very succinctly, really, when the Apostle Paul actually shares his story with, I think it was King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, and let's have a look here, about verse 15. So Paul is recounting the story of when he got knocked off his camel or his donkey that he was traveling on to Damascus. And verse 15, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Because he heard Jesus speaking to him. He heard the Lord speaking to him. He's saying, 'Why are you kicking against the goads? And why are you persecuting me?' That's the voice he heard. 'So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting.' And then the Lord says to him, 'Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you.'" So we've been called to be witnesses of the things that you've seen, the things that you've experienced, the things that have happened to you, and to do with who Jesus is and what he's done. That's your story. And then verse 17 says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Verse 18, now this is very important. Here's a few things to remember. Verse 18 of Acts 26, it is to open their eyes. So one of the things we really need to pray for when we're praying for people to be saved is to pray that God will open their eyes. God will open their eyes. It's a very powerful prayer. In order to turn them from darkness to light. So that's part of what we pray for people to be saved. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. This is all that we can pray, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's another thing we can pray for people, that they will receive forgiveness of sins. We can pray that God will grant them the gift of repentance. I often pray for people, God, grant this person the gift of repentance and faith. It's given by God, you see. We need to pray those things into being. We need to pray for people in this way, so they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are set apart by faith in me. So we're praying for people that they receive the inheritance of eternal life, the inheritance of what Christ died for them for. These are all the things that we can pray so that people can be saved. Let's go to Mark's Gospel 16, and you'll know this really well. Anyone know what Mark 16 says right at the end there? What does it say? Go into and preach the gospel to every creature, every person. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs, God wants there to be signs when we share the gospel with people. I've seen some amazing signs that God will confirm, you see, to people the message you just gave them. So it's not just words. It's words with power. And it says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Basically, have heavenly protection, physical protection from poison and from anything else that will not hurt us. And we will lay hands on the sick. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So the Lord wants to work with us. Amen. He wants to work with us. And then go to Matthew 28. I'm going to finish on this. Matthew 28. Matthew 28 says, what does that say? Right at the end, verse 18. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Just turn to someone near you and say, go. But just before you go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The gospel that we share, that we preach and we declare to people is so that they can be saved, but it's also so that they can become a disciple. That's the goal. That's the goal of the gospel, is that they can become disciples of the King. That's the reason why we need to share the gospel. Let me just leave you with a brief challenge, because we're out of time tonight. Obviously the leaders here, they can work this at another time. But let me just give you a little challenge. See if you can write down your story in not too many words. Yeah. In not too many words. Like one side of A4. One side of A4. See if you can write your story, a brief account. It has to be a brief overview of what is your story? How did you get saved? You say, well, I was brought up in a Christian home very young, and I don't have a story about mugging an old granny or robbing a bank or going on to drugs. No, but you've got your own story. You've got your story that you were young when you got saved. You've got a story that you're brought up in a godly home. That's an amazing story. And you had an early start in life. That's what I had. And I used to think, I've got nothing really, and God really corrected me on it big time. He said, you've got every reason to tell your story of what happened to you as a young boy and how you experienced me and some of the miracles you saw happen. You've got a great story. And all of us have got our own story, but we must tell it to others. So let me urge you tonight, this is your homework, is write down your story on an A4 lined bit of paper, an overview of, and it's in three parts. The first part is, what was life like before you met with Jesus? So the early part, what was your life like before you met with Jesus? An overview. Describe it. Just not all the detail, not all the gory details, just an overview. The second bit is, how did you become born again? What actually happened? In a few words, just a little description of what actually happened. And then the third bit is, what does Jesus Christ mean to you today? What does he mean to you today? What is he for you today? Put it into simple words. When we share our story with people, those are the three elements that we want to share with them. A little bit about how life was, a little bit about the beginning, how I actually got saved, what actually happened, what did you experience, what did you believe, and then what does he mean to you today? And what I say to the Bible College students, I say, just remember that the greatest story isn't your story. The greatest story that you've got is the one about Jesus. So always include, obviously, you would do, wouldn't you? You got saved because of Jesus dying on the cross. But always finish your story again. Go back to the cross. Go back to his death on that cross for the person you're witnessing to. Go back to the fact that he rose again from the dead, that he's reigning in heaven, and he wants that person to know him and bring him into a relationship with God. That's your story. Every one of us has an amazing story. I want to urge you and encourage you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means wholeness in every area of your life. When we share the gospel, anything could happen. That's the most exciting thing. Anything could happen in that person's life that you're sharing the gospel with. So let me urge you, encourage you, be ready for God to use you. Make yourself available to him afresh this evening. Can we all stand? We're not going to take a long time about this, but just lift your hands to the Lord this evening. Just lift your hands. And if you're able to pray in tongues in the Holy Spirit, just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit just for a few minutes. Just begin to exercise your spirit, exercise your faith tonight. Hallelujah. Probos tehidriya tarabas tobukubush. She kababa solobobosedidiya. Robobosehendredera. Rondokobose kababa kababa. Rindigidihis tolobobos de betidiandarabas solobobobosta. Rindigidiandaradiadalabas solobobobosedariadarabasto. Rumbukobosheketidiandarabas salababobusto. Rindigidiandarabas samabas soboboshingede. Ramabas samarama samarama lididi andaraba. Father, for every person here tonight, Lord, that's hearing my words, Lord, those that listen to this recording, I pray, Father, this evening, Lord, I see you giving us divine ammunition. Weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. There's a mighty anointing upon each one of us here in this room tonight to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. Father, we pray, make us sensitive to you. Cause us to work with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is your work. But I want to work with you, Lord. I want to pray with you, Lord. I want to step out with you, Lord. Father, it's not your will. Any should perish, but all should come to know you. So, Father, please help me, Lord, by your grace, to share the gospel with as many people as possible through my life, Father. I ask this evening, Lord, for everyone here tonight, Lord, that we just make a fresh dedication of our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Just invite the Holy Spirit to do that in you tonight. Say, Lord, please use me. I'm available. Fresh anointing, please, Lord. Put a fresh anointing on me, Lord, to share the gospel of Jesus with others, to see people being saved, to serve you with the gospel, Lord. Lord, to heal the sick, to see miracles happen, Lord. Father, I give myself afresh to you tonight. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord Jesus, tonight I make myself available to you, Holy Spirit, and for the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him praise and thanks. Shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.